Okay, Hare Krishna, I welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Thank you all so much for joining us for this Ram Katha seminar, A Canto a Day. Today we will be covering Sundarakand, and our speaker for today is Her Grace Sukhasagari Mataji. Thank you so much, Sukhasagari Mataji. You can go live now and you can take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasi Mataji. Dhanva Pradham, always to Srila Prabhupada. My humble obeisances to all devotees on the call. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to glorify Lord Rama on his day of appearance. I hope you got the link to the YouTube video.
Yes, we all got it.
Okay, you got it. Okay. Yeah, so let me just start with my invocation prayers. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Giriraja Swaminiti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavcha Patitya Naam Pavani Bhyo Vaishna Vyabhyo Namo Namaha. Nandakuti Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'll just recite prayers in praise of Lord Rama. Ramaya Rama Bhadraya Ramachandraya Vedase Raghunathaya Nathaya Sitaya Pataye Namaha. Shri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasranama Tattulyam Rama Nama Varanane. Manojamam Marutatulyavegam Jitendriyam Buddhimatam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanarayuthamukhyam Shri Ramadutam Sharanam Prapadye. Asadhya Sadhaka Swamin Asadhyam Tavakimvada Ramaduta Kripa Sindho Matkaryam Sadhaya Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So we are today on the fifth canto or the fifth kanda of Sri Ramayana on this holy appearance day of Lord Sri Rama. And yesterday we saw the Kishkindha Kanda, where we see that Sugriva actually sends out four monkey armies in each of the four directions to search for Mother Sita. So Hanuman, and headed by Angad, actually they go in the southward direction. Unfortunately, the other three armies which are sent in the other directions are not successful in their attempt, and they're kind of dejected, and they're hoping and praying that at least Hanuman is able to, you know, find Mother Sita. At least the southern contingent which is going in the southern direction, at least they're able to find Mother Sita. So with that hope, they actually move towards the south. But then again, they're kind of feeling dejected because they don't find any clear signs of Mother Sita there. So at that time, you know, when Angad is actually in kind of a lamentation mood, Sampati overhears and he assuages them and gives about 3 to 4 reasons that how Mother Sita actually is there and on the other side of the shore, other side of the ocean, in Lanka. He gives reasons such as, first he says that he's actually seen this land of Lanka when flying with his brother Jatayu, you know, when they were much younger. And the second reason he says is that he could hear the screams of Mother Sita when she was being abducted. And then the third reason he says is that, you know, he has got, Sampati is an eagle, and as we know, eagles have a very good, you know, vision. Like it is said that, you know, human vision is generally 20/20 if you have good vision without glasses, that is. But eagles, they have a vision of 20 over 5 or 20 over 4, so they can see at least 4 to 5 times as well as human beings can see. So, you know, with his eagle-eyed vision, Sampati can see that, you know, the other side in Lanka, that there is Mother Sita there. He also offers the fourth reason that his son, Suparshva, actually told him the details of this abduction of Mother Sita. So that way he gives some ray of hope to the monkey armies, I mean to Hanuman and Angad, and they're kind of very delighted. And he shows them the way that they should head south towards the ocean, and he says that the other side of the ocean, they have to cross about 100 yojanas to reach the other shore. So with that hope, the monkeys, they go towards the southern side and to the ocean shore. And when they see that the ocean is so vast, and they're kind of intimidated, and we see that Angad wants to, you know, pep them up. And he plays this game of who can leap the highest. So each of the monkeys, you know, come up with their own numbers. One says 20 yojanas, one says 40, 60, but then this ocean is 100. So again, they kind of go into a mode of dejection that who will now cross the Indian Ocean, you know, to go to the other side, to Lanka. So at that time, Jambavan comes to the rescue, and he reminds Hanuman of his, you know, special powers, that how high he can leap and how he can even assume a gigantic form of body. So that kind of, you know, gives another hope to Hanuman. So this is, so they go near the foothills of Mahendra mountain. And at that time, Hanuman actually, he assumes a huge gigantic form, a very huge form, and then he steps on top of the Mahendra hill and gets a vision, you know, gets a kind of, he looks at the ocean and kind of gauges how far he needs to go and how, you know, how he would cross this big ocean there. So that's where Kishkindha Kanda actually stops. And, just a minute. That's where Kishkindha Kanda actually stops. I'm just getting too many messages. I was just checking if you're able to hear me. So, and then we move on to the Sundarakanda. So, Sundarakanda, the first question that came to my mind, you know, when I was trying to prepare for this class was that why is this Kanda specially named Sundarakanda? The other Kandas, you know, are so obvious in their meaning. Balakanda referring to the childhood pastime, and Ayodhya Kanda, Aranya Kanda, Kishkindha, they are all kind of obvious. And I was wondering what is so Sundara about, you know, the Sundara Kanda, that it is, you know, in English it's translated as the fascinating episode. So what's so fascinating about this journey, or this, you know, in one sense the travelogue of Sri Hanuman, you know, to Lanka. So listening to some Sri Vaishnava Acharyas who've spoken on this topic, they actually quote a Sanskrit verse, which aptly describes why it is called Sundarakanda. And I'll just recite the verse. Sundare Sundaro Ramaha. So in Sundarakanda, Sundaro Ramaha. Rama is so beautiful. He is so beautiful. Like, there are many descriptions of his beautiful form elsewhere in our Vedic literature. Sundare Sundari Katha. The story itself of Ramayana is so captivating that, you know, we tend to listen to it over and over again. And almost everybody in India is familiar with Ram Katha one way or the other. Sundare Sundari Sita. Sita Maharani, she is the wife, the eternal consort of Lord Rama. And she is so beautiful. She is also Radharani herself. So, you know, she is so beautiful. And this Sundarakanda is actually talking about the search of Hanuman for this great beauty, beautiful goddess Sita. Sundare Sundaram Vanam. Also the Ashoka Vatika and the whole city of Lanka, it is described as a city of gold, and it was actually created by Vishwakarma, the celestial architect. So there are so many beautiful palaces and so many beautiful descriptions of the city of Lanka, which we will go through in a little detail later. So Sundare Sundaram Vanam, in that is the Ashoka Vatika where Mother Sita is. Sundare Sundaram Kavyam, this whole poem, you know, it's so beautiful. And Sundare Sundara Kapihi, Hanuman himself, he is so glorious in his character of devotion to Lord Rama that, you know, he is an epitome of Dasya Bhava. Like we consider him as the most exalted example of Dasya Bhava. Sundare Sundaram Mantram. So this Sundarakandam actually is recited by many people who are in times of distress. It as a ritualistic activity, which of course devotees do not recommend. We have to do it in full devotion to Lord Rama. But many people do recite the Sundarakandam, you know, to get some of their wishes or, you know, some of their aspirations fulfilled. Sundare Kimna Sundaram. So what is not beautiful about this Sundarakanda? That's how this verse actually describes the Sundarakanda. There's also another you know, evidence which Acharyas say that when Hanuman was born, his name was not Hanuman to start with. Anjaneya is like Anjani Putra, but Hanuman is somebody with a broken jaw, you know, naturally. No mother would want to name her baby a broken jaw child, you know. So they would like to give something very beautiful, right, when you have your baby. So she named him Sundara. And it's kind of ironic that a monkey is named Sundara, but that's how beautiful Lord Hanuman is. He can, you know, he always has the lordships, Lord Rama and Sita in his heart, you know. We see many pictures of Lord Hanuman, who he's tearing his heart, and we see Sita and Rama there. So he has the Lord in his heart. So what's not beautiful about Hanuman? So this is another connotation which is given to the word Sundara. So with this background, we'll just move on a little bit further. So in simple terms, if we have to describe Sundarakanda, it's almost like a journey, you know, like how Hanuman goes from, you know, the southern edge of India to the other side of the ocean to actually fetch Mother Sita. And he goes to pass the message of Lord Rama. And in turn, after meeting Mother Sita, he comes back with the message of Mother Sita. So as to give hope to, you know, Lord Rama and Lakshmana, so that they can go and later fight Ravana and bring back Mother Sita home. So in short, you know, we can say that this is the story of this Sundarakanda. But then, so what is the actual, you know, like tattva, they say, or the truth behind this whole story? You know, we are not here just to hear some travelogue or, you know, some travel journey, you know, we're not here for that. Like, I remember a couple of days back, Vrinda Gopika Mataji was very rightly saying, you know, like, that these Puranas and Itihasas, they tend to give us this bitter truths of life, you know, like, which are sometimes so difficult for us to digest in the form of sweet pills. So we see many times that these pills are sugar-coated, you know. Similarly, these stories which we come across, you know, these pastimes of the Lord, where he appears in a human-like form, these are actually sugar-coated pills in one sense, and to deliver us. So when we take a medicine which is sugar-coated, we're not taking it, you know, to just taste some grape flavor or pineapple flavor or berry flavor like that, right? We are in it to actually understand. I mean, we are in it to actually get the benefits of the medicine in there, but not really for the flavor of the medicine, right? So similarly, we have to understand many such truths in these pastimes of Lord Rama, and especially in the Sundarakanda, which is full of lessons. I may not dive too deep into the lessons, as I was told that it's good to go over the katha and it would be interesting to the children. But wherever possible, I would like to give some, you know, a glimpse of these lessons we can learn from the Sundarakanda. So the Acharyas, they also equate or give an analogy that, you know, to this whole episode. Like Mother Sita, she is sitting in the Ashoka Vana, and the Ashoka Vana is considered to be the human body, and inside which the Jiva is actually sitting, and it is actually undergoing so much of, we go through a lot of trials and tribulations, a lot of pain and sorrow and happiness and all kinds of things in our life. So the Ashoka Vana is equated to the body. And then Mother Sita is sitting in the Ashoka Vatika, and this is actually surrounded by the ocean. So just as how the Ashoka Vatika is surrounded by the salt ocean, we are actually floating in this Bhavasagara, this material ocean of miseries, you know, samsara dhavanalan. So we are actually being bombarded by all these forces of nature. And then Ravana is actually troubling Mother Sita, and this is equated to our mind, which is always giving us some kind of a trouble, you know. It's telling, do this, do that. Do everything other than devotional service. That's what our mind tells us many of the times. You know, we're always looking for some excuse, at least personally speaking, looking for some excuse, you know, to, okay, I'm too tired, I'm too sick, I have that, I have a family to take care of, my kids are asking me to do that, this. So we're coming up with excuses, you know. Our mind is already always giving us some kind of an excuse. So Ravana is actually, in one sense, personified as this mind there. And then the 10 heads of Ravana are our indriyas, you know, like the Jnanendriya and the Karmendriya, always, you know, kind of distracting us from one thing to the other. Oh, there is some good music playing, oh, this wonderful prasadam on Jagannath kitchen group. Always these things are kind of, we are always being bombarded by these things. But there, you know, what happens? Hanuman comes and he gives the message of Lord Rama to Mother Sita and takes back the message of Mother Sita to Lord Rama. So this role of Hanuman is equated to that of our guru. So when we are, you know, bewildered and we're waiting, we don't know what to do with our lives because we have no sign of the Paramatma or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That time the guru comes and he actually enlightens us. He gives us this knowledge. He gives us this message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he also connects us in turn to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we connect through our Guru to Krishna, right? So Guru shows us the way and he carries a message to Krishna. So when we serve our Guru, we're actually serving Lord Krishna himself, because he is actually giving all the service to Lord Krishna. The Guru doesn't keep for himself anything. So Hanuman is equated to this guru, you know, who is actually delivering the message between Lord Rama and Mother Sita. So this is, in one sense, some of the philosophy behind this whole Sundarakanda. I'll just move on to the first verse of the Sundarakanda. Tato Ravana Nitaya Sitaya Shatru Karshanaha येष पद्मन वेष्ठुम चारणाचरिते पथिहि. So this verse actually translates that after that Hanuman, the destroyer of hosts, desired to travel in the sky where celestials like Charanas tread, fear to tread it should be actually, to search for Sita, who was taken away by Ravana. So this verse says that Mother Sita was taken away by Ravana. And Acharya say that this statement is actually in one sense fallacious. I mean, Mother Sita is like the mother of the whole universe, and Ravana, who is Ravana to take away Mother Sita, you know? I mean, in Tamil, I heard the Sri Vaishnava Acharya, he says, Ravana is an Alpan. Alpan means like a very, like somebody not so great in stature, you know, that he can carry Mother Sita. She is the mother of the whole universe. So the Acharyas, they give the explanation that Ravana, he had captured so many, all the wives of these demigods. He got so powerful that he made all the wives of the demigod into his own wives and consorts, you know, like that. So Mother Sita, when she saw this, she wanted to save these, devis. And what do you do when you see a drowning person? You cannot stand at the shore and save the person, right? You have to jump into the river to actually save the person. So Mother Sita personally goes, you know, to save these souls. That's what the Acharyas say, that how could this Ravana, you know, nobody even take or capture Mother Sita. She actually did it to save these wives of these demigods. This is another explanation the Acharyas give. So now let's continue on with the actual Kishkindha Kanda. The Sundara Kanda. So Hanuman, what he does is, he's standing at the Mahendra Hills, and just like a rocket, you know, when it takes off, it pushes so many things down, right? Similarly, when Hanuman, he takes off from the Mahendra Hill, these little plants and trees and flowers, they actually follow him to some distance and then fall back on the hill, you know. And this is very much akin to like when we see our dear family member, you know, leaving, you know, or they're going somewhere. So we all tend to go to the door, you know. In India, even they go to the end of the street to bid them bye-bye, you know, like that. So similarly, these flowers, these little plants, they're actually trying to do some kind of seva in this mission of Hanuman trying to find Sita for, you know, in service to Lord Rama. So this is how it is explained, that these flowers, these little plants and trees, they go for a little distance and then they see him off and say, okay, come back soon with news of Mother Sita, you know, we'll wait for it, like that. So when he takes off this Mahendra Hill and goes over the ocean, he actually comes across three obstacles in his way. So one is the Manaka Mountain. The next one is the Surasa, which is also another demoness in the form of a mountain. And the third one is a demoness, Manaka, Surasa, and Simhika, So Manaka, actually the story behind the Manaka demon is, he's not actually a demon. The thing is, you know, in Krita Yuga, the mountains actually could fly. They had wings, and they used to fly around. This is kind of a scary thing, right? I mean, having mountains fly around. So Lord Indra used to perform yajnas, and he was kind of perturbed that seeing mountains flying around, you know, when he was doing these yajnas and things like that. So he actually told that all these wings of these mountains must be cut off. So at that time, the father of Hanuman, you know, Vayu, he actually pushes down this Manaka mountain, and she goes into Patala, and that way he saves her, you know, from her wings being cut. So then when Sagara, he sees that Hanuman is actually coming over the ocean, he beckons this Manaka and tells, hey, you come up and, you know, pay your obeisances to Hanuman. You remember her, like, his father actually helped you? So she comes up and, you know, stands as a big mountain in front of Hanuman. And Hanuman thinks, who's this, you know, trying to stop me on my way like that? So then Manaka tells all the story to him and says, you should take a couple of days rest, you know, and then go. I want to do this service to you. Hanuman says, your sweet words themselves are like a tonic to me. I really don't need to take rest. I'm, you know, single focused on my mission to find Mother Sita, and I'll only rest after I've found Mother Sita. So this way he moves on, and the second test he goes through is that of the Surasa. So the demigods see this and they're actually very happy, you know, like, oh wow, see how Hanuman knows how to deal with an ally or a friend. And then they say, now let's see how he uses his intellect, you know, like that. So they request this mother of the Nagas, Surasa, to take an ugly form of a mountain demon, you know, and go and stalk Hanuman. So then she gets this ugly form with ugly eyes and things like that, and goes and stands in front of Hanuman in the middle of the ocean. And then Hanuman, he sees this, and then she says, you know what, anybody who comes, who wants to cross the ocean must enter into my mouth and come out. You know, there is no other way that you can go beyond me. So Hanuman tries to persuade her and says things like, I'm in search of Mother Sita and this and that, and you know, just let me go and, you know, I'll come back and do whatever you want and things like that. But Surasa says, no, nothing done. You have to go into my mouth and that's all. So that time Hanuman, you know, he expands himself to 20 yojanas. Then there is the size competition going on between Surasa and Hanuman. So then Surasa also expands herself. And then Hanuman goes into 40, then she goes into 40, then 60, 80, 90, 100, like that. So when Surasa goes to 100, immediately Hanuman, he takes a small thumb-sized form and enters into her mouth and comes out. And then he says, look, Dakshaini, I kept up your vow. I went inside your mouth and I came back also out. So now you're pleased. Now you're happy. Your part is done and I'm going ahead. And then he goes ahead. And this time this is a real, demoness. That is Simhika. She comes and she says that, she is called as a Chayagrahi because, she can capture people by their shadows. So when she sees this huge, gigantic form of Hanuman flying, she tries to catch his shadow, so as to stop him. So that time Hanuman, he is like, oh my God, something is pulling me back, even though I'm trying to fly forward, like that. So and then he looks down and he sees that this big, huge, ugly demoness is there, Simhika. And then she says, I'm going to eat you. And then she grows and big in her size. So Hanuman, what he does, he quickly enters into the demoness, rips apart, all her internal organs, and third she falls into the ocean, loses her life there. So that way Hanuman crosses these three hurdles, on his way to the other shore, to Lanka. So this is, the Ramana describes this in a verse, I'll just recite the verse. Yasya Tvetani Chatvari Vanarendra Yathatava Dhriti Drishti Matir Dakshyam Sakarmasu Nasidati. So we can see that Hanuman used four of his qualities here. One is Dhriti, so which means courage. Okay, Dhriti is courage. Drishti is vision. Mati is intellect or presence of mind. Dakshyam is skill or prowess. So we see that when Jambavan actually reminds Hanuman of the prowess, he's very courageous and he takes off without a second thought, in service of Lord Rama, he takes off to search for Mother Sita. So that shows his courage, Dhriti, Drishti. When Mainaka actually asks him to take rest, he says, no, your words are sweet enough for me. I'm fixed on my goals. I have to go find Mother Sita. I cannot just take rest now. It's not possible for me to do that. I have to first find Mother Sita. So he is very fixed in his vision, like Drishtihi. Then Mati, intellect. So then when he goes, comes across Surasa, he expands, he tricks, and then suddenly he goes into smaller size and then enters into a mouth and comes back. You see how he has that quick presence of mind and also his prowess, his various abilities, that he can grow in size and he can fly for such a long distance, which is not an easy feat. So that way he uses his skill, Dakshyam. I have one question. I don't know if it's the right time for kids. So we have heard of Dakshyam and Daksha, we've heard also in Srimad Bhagavatam. So what was Daksha actually skilled at? That's a question maybe the kids can think about and answer later. Okay, so these are the four things which are actually signified by the acts of valor of Lord Hanuman. So the acharya say that we can win somebody by sweet words or intelligence or strength, and we need to know when to use these things appropriately. And this knowledge will be given to us when we read more shastras and we know how to deal with people. Our relationship is not just with Krishna, but it is with everybody, all the devotees of Krishna. So relationships are such an important and a very difficult topic, for devotees, because devotees are by nature very sensitive and we have to be very cautious when we deal with devotees, and we should know when we have to use sweet words, intelligence, strength. Like, I remember in management when I was studying, there are four types of people, some people who you just have to use like sweet words. Some people you have to use some kind of threatening actions or threatening consequences like that. Some people you have to use a mix, and some you just have to use the stick. They don't listen to any sweet words. So like that, there are four kinds of people like that. Even management teaches that, our modern day management. So now he crosses this ocean. And then he goes and lands in the city of Lanka. The city of Lanka is so breathtakingly beautiful. At one point of time, Hanuman thinks that, what will happen if Rama destroys such a beautiful city? So somehow I must go and persuade Ravana and tell him that return back Mother Sita. You can save your city. It's so beautiful. he also gets, you know, gets thoughts like, am I in Svarga? I mean, where am I actually? This is such a beautiful city. So there's a lot of description about the beauty of Lanka given there. I'm not going to go into too many details of that. So seeing at the beautiful Lanka city, he just walks into the city, and there he's first confronted by Lankini. Lankini is actually the caretaker or the guardian of the city of Lanka. So she is like, hey, who are you? Who are you, this monkey? You know, he actually, before this, there's a small detail, which is not of much consequence, but just Hanuman waits the night, Hanuman waits for nightfall to enter into into the city of Lanka because he doesn't want, you know, people to see him. So he assumes his very tiny, teeny form and enters into the city of Lanka and waits till night. So then he sees this Lankini, and she is the guardian of Lanka. And she's like, who are you and what are you doing here? You know, so Hanuman, you know, just for a lark, he says that, I'm here for sightseeing, you know. I just want to see this beautiful city. It's so breathtakingly beautiful. And he, in turn, he says, who are you, ugly demoness? So she, it kind of puts her off, you know, Lankini. And she says, what? I mean, how dare you say such a thing to me, you know. And she takes her palm and, you know, she hits Hanuman. And then Hanuman actually is like, I mean, he is full of strength and, you know, he's such a strong personality, Lord Hanuman. And then he grabs, you know, he makes his hand into a fist and then gives one big thump to Lankini. And she falls down there, down. And then immediately she remembers this, you know, Hari Bol. Hari Krishna. Okay. I hope I'm audible. Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Oh, okay, sorry. I heard something, so I'm sorry. Okay. So immediately he gives a thud, you know. She falls down and then she remembers that boon that Brahma had given her, that in which it said that, you know, when the monkey will come and hit you, you will come back to the heavenly planets. But again, it will also be the downfall of Ravana. So then she realizes that this monkey is no ordinary person, and then she says, please go and find Mother Sita and return her to Lord Rama, you know, as soon as possible. So, and then she goes away. So moving on, Hanuman, then he enters into the inner city of Ravana, and consequently he goes into the palace of Ravana. You know, it is smelling so sweetly there. There are so many opulent objects everywhere in his palace. And inside the palace of Ravana, in fact, he goes into this area where, which is predominantly a woman area. And he finds several women, you know. Ravana actually captured so many wives of demigods, and he had also so many demon, you know, consorts and things like that. So he finds so many women in drunken stupor. They are kind of half naked, lying down, you know, all sleepy and tired, and some are drinking and, you know, things like that. So there are descriptions of that. And then he also finds the Pushpak Vimana, which is actually, you know, a very mystical airplane. And this Pushpak Vimana actually was created for Lord Brahma, but then Lord Brahma, he gives it to Kubera. After a lot of austerities, Kubera gets it from Lord Brahma. And Ravana, he seizes the kingdom, not only the kingdom, but also the Pushpak Vimana from Kubera. So it is said that in this Pushpak Vimana, actually, he captured Mother Sita and came. So as a monkey can be, he is very delighted. He hops on into the Pushpak Vimana. He doesn't give it a chance. And then he goes around in the Pushpak Vimana all around the palace of, you know, Ravana. And then finally he goes through so many women and so many things in the palace. And there he sees a very charming lady, you know. She's sleeping next to Ravana. And he's like, who is this charming lady? Could it be Mother Sita? I mean, she kind of has a golden glow on her face, and she's, you know, has ornaments and jewelry and things like that, and she looks very nice. So he has his doubts that, and then, you know, the monkey heart in him is kind of joyful. He thinks that he's found Mother Sita. But then immediately the thought comes to him that, how can it be Mother Sita? No, Mother Sita is missing Lord Ram, actually. How can I think like this, you know? Mother Sita will be missing Lord Ram, and you know, she cannot survive. She would definitely not be here. So again, he is like dejected kind of, and he goes in search of Mother Sita, hoping that he at least finds Mother Sita, you know, somewhere else. And during this, we find that there are some chapters which deal with this kind of depression or dejection or despondency of Hanuman in trying to find Mother Sita. So as devotees also, when we take over some spiritual endeavors and also material endeavors, we come across such faces, you know, where we feel kind of despondent or dejected, you know, if nothing is moving ahead, you know. But we have to remember that as devotees, Prabhupada actually told the devotees should not, you know, feel pessimistic at all, because the devotee is in full knowledge that this body is temporary and our spirit souls are eternal. So what is there to worry? The greatest fear is death, right? So when we know that our spirit soul is eternal, so devotees should be perennially happy and not dejected. And especially in the service of Krishna, when we find so many, you know, obstacles, we have seen from example from our own Srila Prabhupada, how optimistic he was, you know, at that ripe age of 69 when he came to the U.S. with practically no money. And, you know, on Christmas days, I was just reading, on Christmas days, when everybody was going shopping, Prabhupada used to take his Bhagavatam volumes and just go and distribute in bookstores. That's what he did on Christmas nights. And, you know, he was so steadfast in his service to Lord Krishna. Many times he did think of going back, just like how, you know, we see this Hanuman. Even earlier we saw when they were searching for Mother Sita and Kishkindha Kanda, how they are kind of dejected and despondent, and you know, they feel kind of depressed. Similarly, we may go through those, but we should maintain our enthusiasm, like usaha, nishaya, dhairya, like that. We have to take examples from these great personalities and maintain our enthusiasm in the service of the Lord. So again, he just is waiting, you know, for some glimpse of Mother Sita. And there are two nice verses I just wanted to quote here from the Ramayana. It says, non-depression is the root of development. Absence of despondency is the greatest comfort. Self-reliance always is indeed the promoter in all matters. So it's a big lesson, right? So we have to, if we want to go forward in life, we cannot be dwelling in some depressive self-pity, you know. This is something my husband always tells me, you know, like self-pity is no pity, it's actually ruining you. So so we should be self-reliant, and we should be very enthusiastic in our services. So moving forward. Okay, now here's some good news. So as Hanuman goes on searching like that, he goes to Ashoka Vatika, and then, you know, he finds Mother Sita under the Shishumpa tree. And actually, he doesn't know if this is Mother Sita, because earlier when we saw, he mistook Mandodari for Mother Sita. So he just tries to figure out if this could be Mother Sita, and there are several points or characteristics given by Valmiki, like how he figured that this was Mother Sita. So first, he uses his logic, you know. The verse goes like this, Tato malina samvitam, rakshasibhihi samavritam, upavasa krisham dinam, nishwasantim punah punah, dadarsha shukla paksha ado chandra, rekham iva amalam. So he saw Sita, like this Sita Maharani, she was wearing a very soiled, you know, almost tattered garment. And she was surrounded by this ugly Rakshasa woman. And Mother Sita looked so pale and, you know, so weak, because she was not actually eating right. She looked miserable, and, you know, she was just yearning and longing for the association of her husband, the Lord Rama. So when he saw this woman in such a pitiable condition, Hanuman, you know, he kind of gets, you know, he gets an intuition, or he uses his logic to you know, kind of deduce that this must be Mother Sita. She is so sad, you know, without Lord Rama's presence, without being with Lord Rama. She is like so emaciated, in such a pitiable condition, and all these demonesses around her, they're actually troubling her so much, you know, putting her into so much of distress, asking her somehow, you know, trying to convince her to marry Ravana and things like that. And she is under so much distress. So this, he uses logic when he sees Mother Sita like that, in that pitiable condition. He thinks that this must be Mother Sita. She's in, you know, so sad without her husband. Then actually he uses, he also remembers the characteristics with which Lord Rama has described Mother Sita. So then he sees that, you know, there is this beautiful golden glow, you know, on Mother Sita. It is said that only the Haladini Shakti, like the consort or the wife of the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, has this unique glow about them. So then he sees this glow. And then he also sees other characteristics, you know, which is like very nice, wide-eyed, and, you know, and several other physical features he observes in Mother Sita. And then there is this verse which actually puts all this together. Tulya Shila Vayovritam, Tulya Abhijana Lakshanam, Rago Arhati Vaidihim, Tamcha Iyam Asit Ikshana. So he says, Sri Rama, he, you know, he compares Lord Rama's characteristics and Mother Sita's characteristics, and see that they are very well matched in their character, age, conduct, their pedigree. Pedigree means, you know, their lineage. The lineage from which both are from princely families. And then he says, this must be Mother Sita, you know, like that. Now he uses the characteristics and comes to this conclusion that this must be Mother Sita. So when he's thinking like this and sitting on the tree, you know, that time Ravana comes there. It's like early dawning in the morning. And then Ravana comes, followed by his ugly and beautiful queens and consorts. And he comes and he wants to actually, again, he tries to give an ultimatum to Mother Sita that, hey, you have to marry me now, I know, like that. He tries to threaten her. So when the meeting of Ravana and Mother Sita is described, so when Ravana comes, Mother Sita, she actually puts a, you know, a straw between her and Ravana. So the Acharya described the significance of this straw. They give like three different purposes to this straw which is being placed. And they say the first meaning is, you know, Mother Sita, she is of such an impeccable nature, you know, and she follows all the principles. And all of a sudden, Ravana was king, right? So she wanted to offer him a seat. And so this straw actually signifies, you know, an offering of a seat to this Ravana. The second connotation which is given to the straw is that Mother Sita wanted to put a veil, you know, between her and Ravana, because she didn't want to see this demoniac person who is asking her to marry him, you know, despite her wishes. So, you know, the straw serves also as a veil, you know. She didn't want to face this ugly, you know, this bad demon Ravana. The third connotation which is given is that, you know, Ravana is like a straw, worthless, absolutely nothing in front of Mother Sita. So she looks at him as a pitiable straw, you know, like a worthless person. So that is another connotation given to the straw. So this Ravana, he comes and tries to, you know, he puts Mother Sita into so much distress and says that I'll give you all the wealth, you know, the jewelry you want, a big position among all my wives, everything, just marry me, marry me. So then Sita says, no, this is not going to happen at all. This is not going to happen. I'm just not going to marry you. And she just starts crying loudly for Lord Rama. You know, she is so pained by the words of Ravana to, you know, constantly trying to get her to marry him. And she is so pained and she doesn't know. She just cries for her Lord, her husband, and says, Rama, when will you come and take me away? I'm just so done with this, you know. So then Ravana gets very irritated and he tells these demon Rakshasis and tells somehow, you know, make her agree, you know, you have to do employ all methods to get her to agree to marry me. And he gives an ultimatum of 2 months to Mother Sita. He says that you have to make up your mind. I just give you a time of 2 months, and he goes away. So these Rakshasis, they take turns, you know, in just harassing, you know, literally Mother Sita. And she is like in such a sad state, so pitiable to read the descriptions actually. And, you know, like she's crying continuously. And, you know, and at one point of time, she also contemplates suicide, you know. Mother Sita has this long, nice, beautiful hair. So she's thinking, maybe I'll just use this, my long hair, and tie myself to the tree and just, you know, go to the abode of Yama. I just can't take this anymore like that. So Hanuman is watching all this, and he's like, oh my God, what will happen if Mother Sita, you know, kills herself? What will happen if if Rama and Lakshmana hear this? What will happen if Sugriva hears this? And what will happen if this news goes to Mother Kaushalya, Sumitra and everybody? All of them are going to die, you know. I mean, what will happen? He just gets even more depressed and despondent. Oh my God, how do, you know, I help Mother Sita here? So that time when she's about to do this act, she gets some very nice omens, you know, like Mother Sita feels her left eyes are quivering, her left shoulder is quivering, you know, like these auspicious omens are there. So she gets some ray of hope again. And then Trijata says that she actually got a dream in which she sees Ram and Sita together. So this gives another hope to Mother Sita. And then so Hanuman, who is watching all this from the tree, and then when Ravana leaves and Trijata says this and Mother Sita is just sitting there, so he's like, how do I now go and approach Mother Sita, you know? If I go in the form of a monkey, Mother Sita may not think this is some demon who has come in the form of a monkey like that. And what if I go and speak to her in sweet Sanskrit words? Mother Sita may not think this is the learned Brahmin Ravana, you know, coming and trying to, you know, seduce me again with his Sanskrit words. So he is at a loss. He doesn't know what to do, which form, how to go and approach Mother Sita, what to speak. At that time, what comes to our rescue? When nothing works, Harinama works. So he decides that, you know, okay, the only way I can attract Mother Sita's attention is by singing the glories, Kirti of Lord Anukirtanam, Ramaya Anukirtanam. So when I sing the glories of Lord Rama, Mother Sita will automatically be attracted. So he starts singing the glories of Lord Rama. We also see that in Sundarakanda, in several places, the glories of Lord Rama are again and again repeated, you know, and that is why it's all the more Sundara. He starts singing like this, the glories of Lord Rama, and then Sita is like kind of, you know, astonished. She looks up and sees this is Hanuman there, a monkey there on the top of the tree, and then you know, Hanuman then comes down slowly when he thinks he's won the confidence of Mother Sita. He pays obeisances and he says, trust me, I am the messenger of Lord Hanuman, like that. And then he wants to make sure now, you know, again, he does is not completely sure that this is Mother Sita. So then he asks Mother Sita, you know, like she describes her past tense with Lord Rama, and you know, she then Hanuman is sure that this is Mother Sita. And then Mother Sita in return, you know, she's like, okay, you're just a monkey, so how did my lord, the husband who is like the most valorous person, how did he associate with a group of monkeys? So that's what she asks later. So then Hanuman describes his, you know, the whole pastime, like how he met Lord Rama and Lakshmana, and how Sugriva sent him in search of Mother Sita, and all these things he describes in great detail. And then Hanuman then hands over this ring which was given by Lord Rama as a sign, you know, to Mother Sita. So when Mother Sita sees the ring, she is so happy. She's so happy. She feels that she actually has found her Lord, you know. She experiences so much happiness. But at the same time, she again goes, you know, sad because the Lord is not with her. So it is described as, it is like poison and nectar for her, that situation. Mother Sita says that you giving me the ring and my experience is both like poison and nectar for me. What do I do? So again, she feels very sad, you know, like that. So So Hanuman then tries to tell her and convince her that, don't worry, I'll go back with the message, and you know, I'll surely come back with Lord Rama, and Lord Rama will rescue you, like that. So she gets some hope, but then again she has her doubts. How will the monkey army help Lord, you know, come? This Ravana is such a big demon. These Rakshasis, you know, they are so powerful. They fly over the waters, you know, so easily, and things like that. So these doubts are there in her mind. But still, she's kind of a little pacified to see Hanuman there. So then she, Lord Hanuman, he actually asks Mother Sita for, you know, Mother Sita for something, you know, some sign to take along as a remembrance to back to Lord Rama. So at that time, Mother Sita gives this Chudamani jewel. The Chudamani is like an ornament which is worn on the hair. So Mother Sita actually keeps it wrapped up, you know. Before leaving for the forest, she actually forsake all her jewelry, everything like that. But this Chudamani was actually given to her by her dad, you know. So when she keeps the Chudamani, Lord Rama does not refuse. He says, this is her dad's property, you know, I better not get into it. So she takes the Chudamani and she gives the Chudamani as a sign of remembrance to Hanuman, saying that when Lord sees this, he will understand that you have met me, like that. And then she also quotes like two pastimes. One is the pastime of Kakasura. I think this pastime was quoted, I think even today morning, by Preetimataji in the class. And also I heard some of the speaker also say it a couple of days back. So, but I'll just repeat it. So this Kakasura is this crow demon, and who once when Rama and Sita were taking rest, this Kakasura, this crow, you know, he's flesh hungry, and he comes and pricks Mother Sita on her chest. And then Mother Sita, Lord Rama is sleeping then. And then Mother Sita, you know, she wakes up, you know, with a start. And then she's like, who is this? And then she sees some blood coming there, you know, from her chest like that. And then she tries to defend herself. So she sees this ugly crow there. He's actually the son of Indra. And then she tries to take some dirt from near her and tries to throw it at the crow and tries to shoo him away and like that. Again, she goes back to sleep in the arms of Lord Rama. And then Lord Rama, then again this crow, you know, is still hungry for flesh. It comes and again pokes at Mother Sita. And this time what happens, the blood splatters, you know, it pokes really deep. And the blood splatters and it goes on the face of Lord Rama. And he's suddenly woken up from his sleep, you know. And so then Rama is like, then he sees that there's blood on Mother Sita. And then he gets very furious and he's like, who is this? Who did this to my wife? And then he sees this crow there and he immediately takes this grass, you know, and he releases it as a Brahmastra at this crow. So this crow, you know, it gets scared and it goes all around everywhere begging his dad, Indra, please protect me, this, that. So they say, oh, nobody can protect you. You have to just go fall back at the feet of Lord Rama. You know, we cannot do anything. This is a Brahmastra by Lord Rama. We cannot do anything about it. So this crow sees that there is absolutely no other way for him and he goes back at the feet of Lord Rama. So the time Lord Rama says that, you know, well, all said and done, you have committed a grave mistake by injuring my wife. So I need to punish you one way or the other. So then he pierces this eye of this crow, you know, with a straw. And then he forgives the crow like that. But and there is actually a deeper tattva to it, in which the Acharya say that it was just because of the presence of Mother Sita that this crow was forgiven. If left to himself, Ram would never forgive this, okay? But because Mother Sita, you know, she is the compassionate potency of the Lord, you know, she was right next to that. When the crow tries to fall and pay obeisances to Lord Rama, actually it does not pay full obeisances. So Mother Sita, she tips on the crow, you know, so that the crow actually falls down with his head on the feet of Lord Rama. And that way Lord Rama thinks that this crow is actually asking for forgiveness, like that. So Mother Sita, you know, somehow she wants to save the crow. She's so compassionate. So, you know, and that's the pastime of Kakasura. She tells Hanuman that, go tell this pastime to my husband, then he will know it's me. Then also she says, relates this other pastime of when once Lord Rama, you know, he accidentally rubs off the sindura, the tilak, you know, on the mark on the forehead of married woman. So he rubs off the sindoor of Mother Sita, and she's very upset, you know, that he did this to her. So at that time, this part, this other half, this sindura is given in the Rama and Valmiki Ramayana, but the other half is from Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, in which Rama, you know, she doesn't talk to him for a couple of days. So Rama somehow wants to win her back, you know. So what he does, he conveniently slides his ring into the river and loses the ring. And then he says, "Oh, Sita, I have lost my ring. And then, you know, Sita says, "Oh, did you lose your ring? Let me help you find out." And that way she starts talking back to Lord Rama. So this is another pastime, you know, which Mother Sita says Hanuman should go and share with Lord Rama. That way he will know that he has actually found Mother Sita. The Vaishnava Acharyas also give two or three other intimate pastimes, but for want of time, I may not discuss those now. I'm just sticking to whatever is given in this Valmiki Ramayana. So, where was I? Yeah. So. Okay, I skipped a few parts in the middle. I think I just got carried away with the story. Anyways, it's okay. So after this, he bids farewell to Mother Sita, and then he goes on, you know. Now he wants to actually meet Ravana. And he is thinking, what is the best way I can, you know, attract Ravana's attention? So in politics or in administrative, science, there are four methods which can be used, you know, against your enemies or against somebody who is having a complaint against you. So that is Sama, Dana, Bheda, Danda. So Sama is by having a talk or a conversation or, some kind of a mediation. Sama, dana. Dana is by giving, you know, like some kind of a return gift or something for the enemy or for the transgressor to agree and come to your terms. Bheda is, you know, by using treachery or, some secrecy, you know, involved in that. That is Bheda. And danda is by using force or war. So we see that in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, when Prahlad Maharaj, he actually goes, he goes under the tutelage of Sandana Amarka to learn. His father sends him, right, to learn the sciences and to get educated by Sandana Amarka. In that, there is this verse which says, Tatayenam guru jnatva jnatagneya chatushtavam daityendriyam darshanam asa matramasham alankritam. So this teachers, this Sanda and Amarka, they actually teach Prahlad Maharaj these four techniques, you know, for diplomatic affairs, which are used for pacifying public leaders and, you know, trying to reach some kind of an agreement between two leading parties. So in this, Prabhupada has given this explanation to these four methods, you know. He gives an example. In the purport, Prabhupada says that it is essential for a student who is going to be a ruler or a king to learn the four diplomatic principles. There is always rivalry between a king and his citizens. Therefore, when a citizen agitates the public against the king, the duty of the king is to call him and try to pacify him with sweet words, saying, "You're very important in the state. Why should you disturb the public with some new cause for agitation?" And if the citizen is still not pacified, the king should then offer him some lucrative post as a governor or minister or any post that draws a high salary so that he may become agreeable. If the enemy still goes on agitating the public, the king should try to create dissension in the enemy's camp. And if he still continues, the king should employ argumentum and baculum, severe punishment by putting him in jail or placing him before a firing squad. So now, it is described in Ramayana that, to attract the attention of Ravana, Hanuman says the best method is to use danda. So he, you know, tries to go around trampling the city, trying to create great havoc, you know, in the city. He causes lot of devastation to this beautiful gardens, the groves and things like that, you know. So when the she demons, they see all this devastation which is caused by Hanuman, they ask Mother Sita, so do you know this person, this monkey? He was actually trying to talk to you, so do you know him personally? So Mother Sita says, no, actually I don't know who this monkey is. I just met him now, like that. So, you know, he tries to attract this attention of Ravana by destroying, you know, so many things around this kingdom. So when Ravana gets news of this destructive activity, he gets very angry. And first he calls these Kinkara demons to actually go and fight with Hanuman. But 80,000 Kinkaras, they rush towards Hanuman to catch him. But Hanuman, he actually, kills all these Kinkaras very easily. And then again Ravana, he sends his Jambu Mali, the son of Prahastha. I'm not going to go too many details into these names and history and things like that. So later again he sends more his 5 army generals also to capture Ravana. And then again Hanuman defeats them all. So then finally, you know, like so many demons are sent, Virupaksha, Yupaksha, then Pragasa, Bhasakarna, and so many names are given. And then finally he sends his son Aksha, or he's also called as Akshaya Kumara. And then Hanuman defeats him also. Then Ravana doesn't know what to do. So he calls for Indrajit. And then, you know, at this time what happens? Indrajit, seemingly he captures Hanuman with a Brahmastra. Okay. Actually, the truth behind this Brahmastra, behind this episode, is explained by Acharyas like this, that Hanuman, he himself folds his hands in reverence, and the Brahmastra comes and ties around him like in the form of a rope. So it's not like, you know, he could catch him with the Brahmastra, because Hanuman has this special boon from Lord Brahma and so many other different demigods that, you know, nothing can affect him like that. So he himself surrenders to this Brahmastra. So now when they see the Brahmastra in the form of a rope tied to Hanuman's hands, these demonesses, you know, they think, oh wow, he's now captured. And they try to show off their prowess, you know, by tying him more like that. They think that they tie him more and they've captured Hanuman. So this is actually this is very analogous to that, that episode in Damodar Leela, where we see that actually Krishna, he gives in to Mother Yashoda to be tied like that. It's not like, you know, Krishna can be tied like that. So Hanuman was also, he had the several boons from Brahma. He couldn't be tied, but he just gives in because he thinks this is a good point of entry for me to actually go and meet this King Ravana there. So now at this point of time, he decides to give in. And then they take him, you know, his hands bound, they take him to Ravana. So then Ravana is very furious and he asks, who are you? So Hanuman, he again takes this opportunity to go over the whole of Raman Leela to him. He says, look, Rama and Lakshmana are going to come and catch you. Then he describes the Ramakatha in detail. So this, in fact, infuriates Ravana even more, that how come he is speaking about Rama, you know, in so much of with so much of you know, optimism and showing him as greater than Ravana himself. So he gets very angry and he says this monkey must be killed, you know, on the spot. So at that time Vibhishna, who happens to be there in the court, he says he wants to save, you know, this Hanuman. He's a very good person, you know. So Vibhishna, he says that it's not good, you know, it's not a good thing to kill a messenger. It's never done, and the Niti Shastras are against killing any messengers, you know. So you should not be killing a messenger. So, but in fact, you should humiliate him in such a way that, you know, it is even greater than the loss of life. Like, for example, we have also seen this in the episode of Ashwatthama, right? Not Ashwatthama. The Draupadi's brother. I forgot his name. Okay, I'm so bad with names. So we all see that the honor is even greater than actual physical killing itself, right? So So he says that the best way to humiliate a monkey would be to destroy his tail. So he suggests that, you know, you light up his tail and let him go. You know, he'll be humiliated the most by doing this. Because the monkey, it considers its tail as its most beautiful ornament. There's a shloka which describes this. Kapinam kila langulam ishtam bhavati bhushanam tadasya deepyatam shigram tena dagdena gachatu. So this bhushanam, this ornament, this tail, the langulam, langulam means the tail, it is the ornament for a monkey. So if you light up this tail, you know, then he will be the most humiliated, even more than, you know, actually killing him. So they put, you know, tie his tail with so many cloth, and then they light him up. So Hanuman, very happily, he goes tramping around town, you know, with this lighted tail. He puts the whole city ablaze, you know. He actually, everything, almost the whole of Lanka comes under fire because Hanuman is happily jumping and trouncing around with his lighted tail. And it is said that he doesn't feel the heat at all, because when Mother Sita, she comes to hear all that, you know, they have lighted Hanuman's tail, she feels very bad, and she prays to the fire god Agni Deva, and also Vayudeva is Hanuman's own father, right? So Agni Deva, he reduces the intensity such that Hanuman doesn't feel this fire at all on his tail. And also Vayudeva, he blows in a very, very mellowed fashion. You know, because when there is fire and if you fan it hard, it's going to blow up in a big way, right? So Vayudeva sees that, you know, the wind is at a very, very pleasant and sedated pace, so it doesn't blow up the tail and go to the body of Hanuman. So it just, the fire just stays at the tail. And Hanuman, he, you know, causes a lot of damage to the whole city of Lanka. So at one point of time, he's like wondering, oh my God, I damaged the whole city of Lanka. What will Mother Sita be doing, you know? She is also in Lanka. She is in the Ashoka Vatika. I lit up practically the whole city. So then he hears these two charanas. Charanas are these celestial beings. Like they are like the poets of heavens, you know, like that. So they are discussing that Mother Sita is safe like that. So Hanuman, you know, when he hears this, he feels kind of relieved. And then he goes and he wants to make sure, he makes up his mind that he will surely go back to Mother Sita and see that she is safe personally, and then only go back, you know, to Lord Rama. So then he goes to Ashoka Vatika and then sees that Mother Sita is safe, and then he takes her blessings and then he leaves, and then he, with a big giant leap, he actually crosses the ocean, and he also, Garjana, he lets out a big roar of jubilant victory, you know. And this roar is actually heard by Jambavan and these other monkeys who are at the other end of the shore. And when they hear this roar, Jambavan is very positive. When he hears this jubilant roar of Hanuman, he says, okay, Hanuman is back. Jai Hanuman. So he's back, and he is, he successfully seen Mother Sita, and from his voice we can understand that he's successful in his mission and he's going to bring us good news. So then Hanuman, he goes and leaps and he puts his foot on the Mahendra Hill, and then he meets with his monkey friends, and then Jambavan asks him to relate the whole thing. So he again tells what all happened with Mother Sita, how he met them and things like that, and they are very jubilant. And then they're like, we should not waste even a moment, and we should actually go and tell this news to Rama. So at that point, they also meet Angada, and then Angada, again, he tells the whole thing to him also. And at one point, the monkeys think that, you know, we should actually go and save Mother Sita herself, and then only go back to Lord Rama, you know, we should bring her and then go back. Angad says that this is not a good thing. Before anything, we should get the consent of the Lord, you know. We should get to know what is in his mind. So this is another important lesson we learn, you know. We may think that this will please. Like, for example, when I first I went to meet my guru, I made some modakam for him, you know, the coconut filled modakam. And Oh, I didn't know that he didn't like coconut that much that day. It was the first time I was meeting him. I made and went, and then he ate one or two just to, you know, please. He's so kind and merciful. So then later I emailed my Guru Maharaj and I asked him, Maharaj, was it okay? I mean, I hope, you know, it's okay to your taste like that. So then Guru Maharaj said, it was fine, but it's always good to know, you know, what your guru wants rather than what you think your guru may want or like. Like that he wrote back to me. So that's like my first lesson I got from my guru. He said that we should only do what pleases Krishna, not what we think pleases Krishna. Like that we may, you know, Hanuman and the monkeys think that, you know, themselves going and bringing Mother Sita may please Rama. But no, that's not the right approach. We have to first get the consent of Lord Rama and see what actually pleases him. So like that, so then, you know, they go and they actually pass through Madhuvan. And these monkeys, in their joy, they actually destroy the whole Madhuvan. This Madhuvan is a very, vana, it's actually Sugriva's most treasured vana. And Dadimukha is the caretaker, and he gets very upset when these monkeys destroy this vana. So he goes and tells Sugriva, see how these monkeys have destroyed this vana. So when Sugriva hears this, he's not mad or angry, you know. He's actually very, very, this is one of his favorite vanas. But he, on the other hand, gives a smile, and he understands that, you know, Hanuman is successful in his mission, and that's why they are doing this kind of monkey activities, what monkeys do. So then he conveys this news to Lord Rama. He says, from all the signs I'm getting, we have good news here. Hanuman has found Mother Sita, like that. And then, you know, Hanuman and the others, they also reach there, and Hanuman, you know, he actually conveys this news of how he found Mother Sita to Lord Rama. And the verse which goes there is, Drishta Deviti Hanuman Hanumad Vadanada Amritopamam Akarnya Vachanam Ramo Harshamapa Salakshamanaha. So Sita was found, Drishta Deviti. So this is very, very famous, you know. Even in Tamil they say Kandain Sita. Like, you know, you don't want Rama to doubt even for a minute, you know, what's happening. So the first word they say is Drishta. I've seen, I've met Mother Sita. So this is to, you know, to not give any kind of questions or doubts in Lord Rama's mind. So this is the first word he says, Drishta Deviti. Drishta means I've seen. So like that, this is very famous. I mean, I'm sure everybody, all of us have heard that Sita was found. Found is the first word which is being used. You know, and then Rama and Lakshmana, they feel very happy. And then Hanuman gives the Chudamani, Mother Sita's Chudamani, to Lord Rama. And Lord Rama, you know, he gets so emotional seeing that Chudamani. He holds it to his heart. And then Hanuman says that actually Mother Sita, you know, though Ravana had given him 2 months' time, Mother Sita actually tells Hanuman, go tell my husband, I cannot survive without him for more than a month. I cannot do that. So Hanuman tells Rama that, you know, please, we have to go and rescue Mother Sita within a month. This is what Mother Sita conveyed. Rama then says, my 1 month, Mother Sita can wait for me. I'm not able to wait even one moment. And Lord Rama, he just cries, you know, missing his dear wife like that. So, again, Lord Rama asks Hanuman to explain what happens. You know, he wants to listen more and more about his dear wife. He's missing so much. So, again, Hanuman explains the whole, you know, episode, like how he went and met Mother Sita and everything like that. So, the Sundara Kanda, it kind of ends there with that note. That, you know, Hanuman, he conveys this news that he has actually found Mother Sita, and Lord Ram and Lakshman, they start planning next for the warfare, which will be covered in the next Kanda. Actually, I missed a little few details. I mean, if there is 5 minutes, I just want to go ahead. Yeah, I'll just add this one small detail. You know, when Hanuman actually sees Mother Sita, and he wants to, you know, he is so excited. He offers this plan, you know, he offers this idea to Mother Sita that I'll carry you on my back, you know, and take you back to, you know, to Lord Rama. Don't worry, I can do that. So Mother Sita, she actually doubts his prowess. You know, she says, how can this monkey carry me like that? So she offers like several reasons why she wouldn't do that, you know. Like she says that, you know, when you're flying, the Rakshasis may come to know, and you know how these Rakshasis, you know, actually Shurpanaka, she flies over. So these Rakshasis, these demons, they have special powers, you know. And what if they subdue you and I fall into the ocean and die? What will happen to my husband? He will die of, you know, pain, and hearing this, Mother Kaushalya will pass away. You know, like she gives so many reasons like that. Then she says, what will happen if these demons devour you? You know, and then she says, what will happen? How will you take care of a woman? I'm a woman. How can you, you know, you're a brahmachari. How can you, you know, how can I ride with you? Like that, you know. And but Hanuman keeps saying, no, no, don't doubt my prowess, you know. I can certainly take you across the shore. Trust me, I can do that like that. So towards then, she actually doesn't want to hurt Hanuman, you know. So towards the end, she will say that, you know, I can only be touched by my husband. I don't want to be touched by anybody else. And, you know, she doesn't want to offend Hanuman like that. You know, he's like a son to her. So then she says, it will be only right, because Mother Sita, she is the epitome of chastity. She wants to maintain her self-dignity and chastity, you know, even at that point, even though Hanuman offers that, you know, he will take her back to Lord Rama. She says, the right thing for me to do would be to just wait for my husband to actually come and find. It doesn't work like that, you know. Hanuman just brings me here. Ramana just brings me here, and then Hanuman carries me over there. It doesn't work. I have a valorous husband, and he should do it for me. He should come and personally take me back. That's the right way to do. And so she declines Hanuman's offer, actually, of taking her back to Lord Rama. So at that time, Hanuman says, okay, we'll come back with Lord Rama, like that. So this is one more small detail. There are some other things too, but I think I will just stop here. Thank you so much, Mataji, especially Preeti Vilasi Mataji. She is like a guiding light for me. You know, many times when I feel very lost and too much in the grips of Maya, I just make a phone call to Preeti and ask her, please tell me what I should read now, you know, to purify myself. So all the time she gives me a lot of advice on what literature I should read and what I should do, and so many things, you know, she advises me on. And I'm so grateful to her for always trying to engage me in this service. And please forgive me if I've made any mistakes in my narration. Please correct me and please add to it. I just would like to end the class with a lullaby for Lord Rama. Today the baby is born, the baby has appeared, and I would just like to end the class with a lullaby. Perhaps, you know, we can take comments or clarifications from devotees, and then I can sing the lullaby for Lord Rama and put him to bed. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Very beautiful. I really loved the entire narration, focusing on all the lessons, especially Sundarakanda. Every step is a lesson. So nicely covered, and I was just looking at you, how you were, you know, just speaking it out. It was like incessant flow. Very, very beautiful, Mataji. Excellent. Thank you so much for giving this beautiful section so nicely with so many lessons. Hari Bol to you.
Thank you, Preeti. So Preeti, what do you suggest I do?
Yeah, anyone has any questions, comments, or realizations you want to say?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji, such a wonderful class, and you start off with lessons and you continue giving us very beautiful lessons, like life lessons that we also need to practice and learn from the entire Sundarakanda. I love the way in which you explained your so many different explanations of why it is Sundara also. That was very beautiful, Mataji. And the entire narration was wonderful. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, looking forward to your song, your lullaby. Hari Bol.
Yeah, it's kind of dear to me. It's by Kulashekara Arvas. And it's such a sweet lullaby for Lord Rama, actually. And I thought today he's appeared. He needs some rest, right?
Yes, Mataji. Especially, you are our teacher, Mataji. You are the music teacher, the Vaishnava Bhajan's teacher. You sing so beautifully and you engage all the kids also very nicely. Looking forward to it.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji.
Very, very beautiful class. The Sundarakanda is very beautifully narrated by you. I mean, it's so mesmerizing to hear your narration, all the stories, with so much devotion springing from your heart. Thank you so much for making this wonderful narration, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. All glory to Shishi Guru and Gauranga and all the devotees who are so encouraging and kind and merciful.
Mataji, you can start.
Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, my voice may be a little hoarse from all the talking, but... மண் புகழ் கோசலை தன் மணி வயிறை வாழ்த்தவனே மண் புகழ் கோசலை தன் மணி வயிறை வாழ்த்தவனே தென்னிலங்கை கோன் மூடிகள் சிந்து வித்தாய் செம்புன்சே கண்ணினன் மாமது கூடை சூழ் கணபுரத்தின் கருமணியே கண்ணினன் மாமது கூடை சூழ் கணபுரத்தின் கருமணியே என்னுடைய இன்னமுதே ராகவனே தாலேலோ குங்குமலி கருங்குழலால் கோசலை தன் குலமதலால் குங்குமலி கருங்குழலால் கோசலை தன் குலமதலால் தங்கு பெரும் புகழ் ஜனகன் திருமருகாதாசரதி கங்கையிலும் தீர்த்தமலி கணபுரத்தின் கருமணியே என்னுடைய இன்னமுதே ராகவனே தாளேலோ தாமரை மேல் அயனவனே படைத்தவனே தசரதன் தன் தாமரை மேல் அயனவனே படைத்தவனே தசரதன் தன் மாமதலாய் மைதிலி தன் மணவாள வண்டினங்கள் மாமதலாய் மைதிலி தன் மணவாள வண்டினங்கள் காமரங்கள் இசை பாடும் கணபுரத்தின் கருமணியே காமரங்கள் இசை பாடும் கணபுரத்தின் கருமணியே ஏமரவும் சிலை வளவா ராகவனே
ತಾಲೇಲೋ ಮಲಯದ ನಾಳನೆ ಕಟ್ಟಿ ಮದಿಲಿಲಂಗೈಯಡಿತವನೇ ಮಲಯದ ನಾಳನೆ ಕಟ್ಟಿ ಮದಿಲಿಲಂಗೈಯಡಿತವನೇ ಅಲೆ ಕಡಲೈ ಕಡೆಯಿಂದ ಮರಕ ಅಮುದರುಳಿ ಸೇದವನೇ ಅಲೆ ಕಡಲೈ ಕಡೆಯಿಂದ ಮರಕ ಅಮುದರುಳಿ ಸೇದವನೇ ಕಲೆವಲವ ತಾಂಬಾಳುಂ ಕಣಪುರತೆಂ ಕರುಮಣಿಯ ಕಲೆವಲವ ತಾಂಬಾಳುಂ ಕಣಪುರತೆಂ ಕರುಮಣಿಯ ಸಿಲೆವಲವ ಸೇವಗನೇ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ತಾಲೇಲೋ ಸಿಲೆವಲವ ಸೇವಗನೇ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ತಾಲೇಲೋ ದೇವರೆಯುಂ ಅಸುರರೆಯುಂ ದಿಶೆ ಕಳೆಯುಂ ಪಡೆತವನೇ ದೇವರೆಯುಂ ಅಸುರರೆಯುಂ ದಿಶೆ ಕಳೆಯುಂ ಪಡೆತವನೇ ಯಾವರುಂ ವಂದಡಿ ವಣಂಗ ಅರಂಗನಗರ್ ತೂಯಿನ್ರವನೇ ದೇವರೆಯುಂ ಅಸುರರೆಯುಂ ದಿಶೆ ಕಳೆಯುಂ ಪಡೆತವನೇ ಯಾವರುಂ ವಂದಡಿ ವಣಂಗ ಅರಂಗನಗರ್ ತೂಯಿನ್ರವನೇ ಕಾವೇರಿ ನದಿ ಪಾಯುಂ ಕಣಪುರತಿನ್ ಕರುಮಣಿಯೇ ಕಾವೇರಿ ನದಿ ಪಾಯುಂ ಕಣಪುರತಿನ್ ಕರುಮಣಿಯೇ ಏವರಿ ವೆಂಚಿಲೇ ವಲವ ರಾಘವನೇ ತಾಲೇಲೋ ರಾಘವನೇ ತಾಲೇಲೋ ರಾಘವನೇ ತಾಲೇಲೋ
ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ರಾಘವನೇ ತಾಲೇಲೋ so beautiful nectar dripping this was thank you hari bol jai ho hai kulanda gopika mata ji
yeah it's such a beautiful composition by Kulasekhar Alvar
Thank you so much, Mataji. Yeah, today has been full of such melodious classical singing, Mataji. So beautiful. Loved it today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. All grace to Guru and Gauranga. Jai Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman Ji ki jai.
Jai. Thank you so much, Mataji, and thanks to all the devotees who joined. Anyone else has anything to share or comment?
All have gone to bed, Devi.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was so soothing to the heart and the mind. Thank you so much, Mataji. Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyascha Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ವಾಲ್ಮೀಕಿ ರಾಮಾಯಣ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಹರ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಸುಖ ಸಾಗರಿ ಮಾತಾಜಿ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಫಾರ್ ದ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸಲೆಂಟ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಮೆಲ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಸಿಂಗಿಂಗ್ ಮಾತಾಜಿ ಹರಿ ಓಂ
ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಮಾತಾಜಿ ಫಾರ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಮೀ ದ ಆಪರ್ಚುನಿಟಿ ಆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಆಸ್ಪಿಷಿಯಸ್ ಡೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ
ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಮಾತಾಜಿ ಕೋಟಿ ಕೋಟಿ ಧನ್ಯವಾದ
ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಮಾತಾಜಿ
Thank you, Mataji. Beautiful, beautiful class. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. All goes to Guru and Gauranga.